This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for singing, and please be seated as we invite our sister Sophia to read from the Bible, after which Pastor Andrew will explain the passage to us.
Hello. Today's Bible passage is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 11 to chapter 12, verse 8. That will be on page 678 of our Bibles. 678. Okay, chapter 11, verse 1. Ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Verse 7. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire is no longer stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the well and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good afternoon, everyone. Afternoon. It's always a joy and privilege to be with God's people and have his word open. So would you have Ecclesiastes chapter 11 open before you? If you're using the church Bible, it's page 678. We have been on a journey of Ecclesiastes this year, in the earlier part of the year, and today and next week, we will wrap up on this book. Now, if you're on Ecclesiastes 11, you'll be great. We're going to ask God to help us as we think about our lives, which is very appropriate since it's end of the year. We might be too busy in the beginning, in the middle, but right now, reaching December, it's a perfect time for us to think and reflect on our lives. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you today. You have seen us through this year, and we are so thankful to you. We are thankful, God, for this life that we have. even though at times we took it for granted that we'll always be here. But many have not gone through 2025, but we have. So we pray, God, as we reflect on this two chapters of Ecclesiastes, that you speak to our hearts and speak into our lives. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's something that many or perhaps half of us here feel, but we rarely say it out loud. And it is this, that life moves faster than we expected. Life moves faster than we expected. One moment you're 15-year-old, you can eat prata at 1 a.m. across the road with no consequence. The next morning you wake up, you're 50, your shoulders and your knees start to sound like puppets or bubble wraps. The prata shows up next morning permanently. And if you have never thought of that before, for some of us, don't worry, you'll come. The day will come where your prata doesn't disappear as quickly. Right? Somewhere along the way, we may look back and we may actually wonder, where did all our years go? In fact, have I taken God seriously all my life? Why am I still so anxious, still wanting control, still fearing the future? Perhaps even more as we grow older that we worry and fear about the future. But the book of Ecclesiastes understands this ache. And as the teacher who writes the book of Ecclesiastes speaks to us, he's not trying to just make us even more depressed, but he wants to give us wisdom for our life that's really short, that's very uncertain, and it's vaporous. Now, in NIV, we use the word meaningless. Yes, we use the word vaporous. Use the word vanity, but a good translation actually is vaporous because you can't hold on to it. You see it comes, but you can't grab and keep it. So here it is as we enter Ecclesiastes 11. Instead of just saying, you know, be despair, be depressed, the teacher actually says the very opposite thing that he has for us. He wants us to actually live boldly, to enjoy life deeply, and to remember our Creator now, not when it's too late. So the three movement of wisdom about life from today's passage is this: live boldly when you can't see the future. Chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. Enjoy life with your eyes open, verse 7 to 10, and remember your Creator now. Chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 8. Now, turn with me to chapter 11, verse 1, and you see how the teacher begins with an imagery that sounds a little bit like investment advice. Look at it. Verse 1, ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in 8. You do not know what disasters may come upon the land. Now, at first glance, it sounds like, you know, financial or investment advice. When you start earning your own money, your financial advice or your friends who are doing that, or your social media gurus, they'll start telling you, you need to invest. You need to invest widely. You need to have a portfolio. You need to mitigate your risk. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, for you never know what crisis may come upon you. You need to invest. You need to be bold. You need to be wise. From an ancient Israel perspective, this advice almost sounds like this. No, if you invest, don't put all your goods on that one ship because it can sink. Put it on a multiple range of ship. In fact, don't just put it in the sea, put it in the land. Well, that's great advice, and we hear all the time, worldly advice under the sun. My question is this what the teacher wants us to grapple with in Ecclesiastes? Well, perhaps. But he has definitely a much deeper point to make when he observed our human hesitation to live boldly. There's something about our human condition that he wants to deal with, and it is this. We shall look at it. He wants to tell us this, that we are afraid to live boldly and wisely because we always want absolute control over our own lives. Let me say that again. We're afraid to live boldly and wisely because we want absolute control over our own lives. See how he unpacks this. In the following verses, look at verse 3. Now, there are some outcomes that we can guarantee by observation. And we like things that are guaranteed, right? Anything that's guaranteed, we like it. So this is it, verse 3. If the clouds are full, well, they naturally will empty themselves. If a tree falls, it stays fallen until some external forces move it. Now, these are the laws of nature. We can observe, the outcome is guaranteed, we like it. But there are those circumstances where there are no guarantees. And if you demand absolute certainty, we'll never get out of bed. We never get to work. Look at verse 4. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Now, what is it saying? It's saying this, in ancient Philistine, or even in a modern day farming, farmers will always prefer ideal weather. You know what's the best weather for sowing? The best weather for sowing back then is when there's no wind. You know exactly where your seeds go. If the wind is strong, it goes all over the place. You wonder where is that sowing? And when's the perfect time for harvest? It's when there's no rain, when it's dry. That's the time where you can max out everything. You can collect everything. Nothing slips off or meshed up. But if the farmer is always looking at the sky, waiting for that perfect condition, they will never get to work. The same goes for life under the sun. If we want absolute control, we will always be paralyzed by fear, by uncertainty. We will never really live. We do not have absolute control of this world. We do not have absolute knowledge, except that death always comes. That's probably the only absolute we do. So from verse 1 to 4, the teacher's advice for life under the sun is this, that we need to live boldly. But then he extends his wisdom beyond what the world is going to be willing to say. But he wants us to know. And that's from verse 5 onwards. Look at it. As you do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. While the world, or we say to ourselves, we can't be that bold if we have no control. You know what the teacher says? We can be bold because we have no control. Listen to this again. We'll say we can't be bold because we have no control, but the teacher is saying we can be bold because we have no control. Look at how he says it, how he repeats himself. Look at verse 2. He says, you do not know. Verse 5, you do not know. Verse 6, you do not know. Coming back to the verse 5 that we read, you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. The central reason he called us to live boldly and wisely is not about our potential, it's not about figuring everything out in the universe, but because we cannot know everything about the universe that God has made. Now, why do we live in fear and paralysis where we make decisions, we struggle with fear? It is because we want control. The bigger the decision, the more we feel paralyzed. We want control. But the teacher says we do not have absolute control. In fact, his advice for us is to live boldly, wisely, for the fact that we recognize we are mere humans. We do not have absolute control and we do not need absolute control. What does this mean if you are a Christian? When I'm a Christian, it means, this is the good news, to acknowledge that God is God and we are not God is really good news, because we can act boldly knowing that there's a God, the maker of all things. In fact, God makes everything, and that gives us the courage to act without having to know everything. And we can work faithfully without fearing that we need to prove ourselves, because there is no need to prove. But more importantly, we no longer just live boldly, wisely for our own pleasure, but really we can live boldly and wisely with God in mind. As we are reaching the end of Ecclesiastes, the knowledge of knowing God is important. In fact, that is the posture that Christians are meant to have. In the New Testament, Paul talks about this, about work. Jesus speaks about work this way. Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 16, 17, he says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. It goes on. And whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus said in John 9, verse 4, he says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. The teacher is urging us not to be paralyzed by our lack of knowledge or control, but rather to use every opportunity to work boldly and wisely, to have God in our mind as we sow and as our hands get to work. Because look at verse 6. For who knows which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Now, there were a few families in my previous church back in Australia when I was working there. There were a few families. There was once they decided that they want to venture out to set up a home church, a house church. They were prayerful, godly people. They prayed, they shared to the leaders, and they went forth. But after a period of time, circumstances changed and they eventually had to return to the sending church. But it wasn't with shame. They came back with gladness because they have gone out boldly, wisely. They trusted in God with the outcome. At other times on this same church where another church plant went out and it became very fruitful, and that church became a network of churches. Now, in both situations and more in between, the church, they can really celebrate not because of the outcome itself, but the people of God has gone out boldly to live boldly, wisely, because they trust God is in control, not because they have absolute control of things. And that's beautiful, isn't it? To think that actually we can live our lives knowing that God is in control and we don't have to. We can live boldly, wisely, because the outcome has already been secured. There is one who actually lived that life out all the way to the cross so that the outcome is secure. When he said, it is finished, our Lord Jesus Christ, the outcome has been finalized. So what we are living in this life is to paint out the rest of the journey with an outcome that has been secured by Christ. And that is a powerful place to live our lives. So for us in our church, we're not a very big church, but yet we are able to venture out, whether it is Salt, whether it is Shalom, whether it is Batam, whether it is Vietnam, whether it is Cambodia, and God willing, Central Asia. Not that we know everything, but we can go out knowing that God knows them. And the outcome is His. For us individually, for those of us, it also means that we can live our life the same way, whether it is telling the family member who hasn't believed again to believe, or friend or colleague, whether it's to support missionaries or get involved in church ministry, or even whatever your age, to just jump into short-term, mid-term missions, knowing that Jesus has already won that outcome. Here's the thing, if you are someone who likes motivational reels or things, you know what the world tells us about motivation? They will push us. We need to go out boldly, live our life. The motivation is that we have some untapped potential that we can go out and manifest it. But you know what the Bible says? We go out and live this life boldly because we have God who has already settled everything. That's the difference between how the world talks about living and what the Bible says. Christ has secured the ending. Now he has a second wisdom for us, and he moves to verse 7 to 10, where he says that we are to enjoy our life deeply and with our eyes open. Look at verse 7. It says this, like the sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun, however many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. You know what he's saying in 7 to 10? He's saying that youth, those of us who are youth is a gift, health is a gift, strength is a gift, sight without cataract is a gift. You know, young people, sight without cataract is a gift. The teacher is saying to the young, you know, enjoy your life, taste the sweetness of life. Have fun making decisions with your schools, with your career, with your hobbies, sports, potential dates, your future life partner. Enjoy that. That is great. And that's a worldly advice, perhaps. But the teacher has more to add that the world will not tell us. You know what the world tells us? If you're on your reels, you know this. The culture that we live in will tell the young people, YOLO, right? You only live once, Whatever happiness you want, go for it. Or don't let anyone box you in. The movies are like that. You be you. Isn't that how the movies are moving? Or if you're really into some spiritual gurus thing, they'll say, manifest your desires and the universe will respond and give it back to you. In fact, the culture will agree with the teacher in verse 9 when the teacher says, you who are young, be happy. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eye sees. But the teacher has a much deeper wisdom for us. For the young people, you need to listen to this. He wants to tell us you enjoy your life most when your eyes are open to God, not when your eyes are glued to the world. Listen to how he tells us to be happy and follow your heart. Right before that, he actually says in verse 8, he says this, listen, remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. For everything to come is meaningless, it's vaporous. And after calling them to follow their hearts, he continued verse 9, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. And again, he adds on verse 10, you know, banish anxiety from your heart, cast off the troubles of your body. Well, it sounds good, but he adds on, for youth and vigor are vaporous. The teacher is saying this, know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. It's not meant to be just terrifying you and make you kind of live in fear. It's meant to awaken us to know how to live, to really enjoy life. We need to start living from the end. We need to live from backwards. To start your youth, you want to enjoy your youth really well? Start it from the finishing line and from here. Okay, what it means is this. Find your enjoyment from God, not apart from God. Fill your heart with God and follow your heart wherever it leads. Wash your eyes with spiritual discernment and let your life and your eyes follow you, right? Let your eyes lead your life. But have God in your heart, have spiritual discernment in your eyes. Now, last week's sermon on John 21, anybody was here last week? John 21? Yeah, you're here most? Yep, it's one of my favorite passages because it's so beautiful. Peter, Thomas, John, the disciples, you know what? They didn't find enjoyment because of their achievements. They find joy because the risen Jesus forgave them, restored them, and loved them. So much so, if you look at John 21, Peter, he was willing to follow his heart even though Jesus warned him, if you follow your heart, it will lead you to death. And he says, I will go. How about him? Jesus says, leave it to him, but you do what you want. And he did. It wasn't achievement. It wasn't of greatness, but it was him having the love of Jesus, the forgiveness and restoration of Jesus that led him to plunge forward. Now, friends, this means that even for those of us who are melancholic, we can rediscover joy when we recognize that our sins are forgiven. If there are some of us who feel that joy of life has been taken away from us, if you, it doesn't matter your age, you feel that joy has been taken away from you, the Bible is good news that the love and forgiveness of Jesus can redeem our life for us. Because it's never too late to find joy when your midlife crisis will never come. When you're living for eternity, there's no midlife for you to have that crisis, but you can live boldly for your life and enjoy it, knowing that you have been forgiven, that you have a relationship with one true God and Jesus Christ, our Savior. So to the young, or for some of us, the not so young, let us enjoy our life deeply by putting our eyes on Jesus and on God and not on the world and the people who may disappoint you. Finally, the teacher has just one more wisdom for us that will pull everything together. And it's in chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. You know, this is actually one of the most poetic and sobering description of aging. This is a passage that speaks about aging in the most poetic way. And he says this, look at verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come. Do you ask this question? Why did the teacher say, remember your Creator in the days of your youth? Why youth? I think it's this. Because when we are young, We often assume we have unlimited time. Perhaps one of the most common phrases a parent says or want to say to a teenager is this, or maybe I've heard it enough, it is, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Your parents are not trying to kind of scold you, but as they say it, what they mean is time is precious. Treasure your time. Treasure your time. Now, to be fair, I want to say this emphasis is not just for the youth, but for any of us who feels that we have plenty of time to ignore God. We have enough time to ignore God, to put God in the later part of our bucket list. We have a bucket list, kind of everything is what we want, but God is kind of just at the end. We don't really want God or death to interrupt our lives. We want to live it ourselves. But in reality, life is more like the river safari boat ride. Anybody has taken river safari boat ride? Anybody? Yeah. The youth? No? River safari boat ride? If you have, this is what you do. You wait for a long time on the holidays to queue up, and you finally get there. The beginning is very exciting because the boat jumps a little bit. The middle is very exciting. You look at the animals, and you know what? Shockingly, before you know it, the exit has already come. Like those of you who have been there and waited a long time, says, what? 2 minutes? Like after that 40 minutes of waiting, I mean, I don't know how long you wait, but the point is this, that life is shockingly short. The journey of life is shorter than we know. The front is exciting, the middle, we are just buzzing with it, and then you're at the end. For Christians, you know, we will not argue the Bible. We will agree with the Bible. We will know that it is important to take our faith seriously. But deep down, we may hesitate because we still want our own timing. We still want our own comfort. We still want to have our own control, our own security. We still want to live our lives. We still want to have all the goals that we have. We don't really want God to be fully involved. We only want Him when we are sick, when we are stressed, when we are sobbing. But the teacher says, don't remember your Creator later. Remember your Creator now. The teacher says, remember your Creator because this life really comes from Him and because this life is very short. That's how fast the ride is between birth and death. For the youths, you can't feel how fast life passes. That's why the teacher writes this for us. That's why he writes it. In fact, he's going to describe something for us in the remaining verses so that we understand how fast it goes. Okay? It just now, Jimmy was helpfully bringing us to the front. In fact, you know what? Right at the start of Ecclesiastes, he talks about this. In Ecclesiastes 1 verse 4, the teacher says this, generation comes, generation goes, but the earth remains forever. The only reason why you actually feel that your generation right now is very exciting, there's endless opportunities, there's kind of AI coming, there's all kinds of kind of virtual reality or things that are kind of beyond your grandfather's imagination, it's so exciting. The reason why you can be so excited is that actually because you still have time to live it. But let me say this. Some of us, you can agree with this, that once our breath or our health runs out, it doesn't matter how exciting the world is. It doesn't for you anymore. So the teacher is going to describe the days of trouble when the failing of the body comes, that will eventually drown out the excitement we feel when we are young. So look at it with me. Look at verse 2. Before the sun, the light, the moon, the stars grow dim. It refers to our general decline as we grow old as opposed to what young people experienced back in chapter 11, verse 7, enjoying the sweetness of the sun's ray. The clouds return after the rain probably refers to that ongoing sorrows that will wash on you again and again when your body declines, when your loved ones are gone, and when you only have memories. When the keepers of the house tremble, the strong men stoop. We well refer to our arms that used to protect us. So guys, you know, muscle up. As one day your muscle shrinks. The legs that used to be strong. You know what? When you go to first service, some of the older uncles, they used to be great sportsmen or sportswomen. But then they're now banned. The grinder sees because they are few is a poetic description of us having fewer teeth. We now see our dentist not to clean our nice, healthy teeth, but to do our root canals, kind of do our dentures, and the windows dim, that is our eyes no longer see as clearly. And when the doors to the street are closed, it probably refers to mobility in traveling around the world. When we are young, those who are young, great, travel, enjoy traveling. But when our bodies grow too frail, traveling becomes a chore. When you travel, you have to ask your children to help you with your luggages because it's too difficult to travel and you need your wheelchair. The sound of grinding fates. What's the sound of grinding fates? Who of you took public transport? You hear people speaking very loudly on their phone. It's like, hello, Tia! You know, it's very loud. It's like the whole bus can hear except the person who is speaking. Don't get mad. Don't get upset because here's the reality. As we grow older, our ears can't hear as well. We're raising our voice not because we're angry, but because we can't hear the other person and we think the other person can't hear us. So we kind of just speak louder and louder at home. And you may say, no, grandma, don't need to speak very loud. I'm just next to you. But they just do because they can't hear. No, crossing streets become difficult. Climbing stairs deters us from it. Someone shared this, I thought was very reflective. She once shared this. It says, these days when I climb up the stairs, my mind is up the stairs, but my body is only halfway there, right? Because it takes longer to climb. And graying hair. So nowadays I thank God that I still have hair rather than to complain. It's graying. And how the desires of youth no longer excites old people as they used to. Until verse 5, look at verse 5. Then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Eventually, the journey of life returns to the Creator in a full circle, but this time round, it is not entry, it's exit. We already all had our entrance. The next time we see God, it's exit. So the teacher concludes his key point again in verse 6. Remember Him. Remember Him before the silver cord breaks, before the golden bowl shatters. And then the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the Spirit returns to God who gave it. And so advise the teacher who by now is well and truly dead for a few thousand years. He says, verse 8, vaporous, vaporous, says the teacher, everything is vaporous. Now, the teacher is not being cruel or sadistic. He is giving us the greatest wisdom we need. And the greatest wisdom is this, listen. Don't wait. Don't postpone your faith. Don't push God to some ambiguous later bucket list because you have too much things to do. Don't. Remember Him now before it's too late. So dear friends, as we sit in Ecclesiastes today, as we have an honest look at our own lives, I want to wrap up with a few reflections for different groups of people that we have here on what all this means for us. For some of us, if you feel that quiet ache in your life where you feel that perhaps you remember your younger years or the few years ahead where you live not so much for God, kind of you're too busy with life, or you chase enjoyment that now slips through your finger like mist or just vague memories where we live for control and performance rather than for God. I want to say this to you from the Bible's perspective, that the Bible gives us hope, not despair, because there is one above the sun, our Lord Jesus. His gospel is that good and great hope for us. Wherever we are in life, whether we are young, whether we are kind of older, this is what Jesus says in John 10. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So the good news of Jesus changes everything about life. Here's the thing. You need to know this. Jesus remembers the Heavenly Father. Even on those days, we have forgotten Him. In our journey of life, when we say to God, God later, Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus' perfect obedience didn't give Him luxury. He brought Him to the cross to pay for all the things God would otherwise ask you to pay. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 9 is a frightening statement. It's real frightening just now. It says the judgment of God will come. But Jesus took the judgment in our place, and He have union with us so that on the day of judgment, we are not criminals, but forgiven children. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," and then he rose from the dead, the meaning of life changed forever, because now we can live boldly, we can live wisely, we can enjoy this life like his disciples, because we no longer need to prove our worth. You know what people are afraid of in life? They're afraid that they have lived the whole life, and when they look back, there's nothing worth showing. There's no relationship that they've proved themselves. But for Christians, we live each day for Christ because we are already the worthy children of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now to the young, those who are young, this is for you. Know God and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, you can live boldly even when you can't see your future. You can't. But it's all right because the future is in Jesus. It's already worn by him. You can enjoy your life, but enjoy your life today with your eyes open. Because joy of life is found in the presence of God, not in the absence of God. If you live and find joy in the absence of God, you find regret at the end. But if you live your life in the presence of God, you taste and savor the goodness of the life you have. And finally, remember your Creator God while it is now, not tomorrow, now, as a youth. For the rest of us, middle age, older, then let us live this life boldly, because God has already redeemed any wasted years, any wasted time we have in the faithful years that Christ lived. So he remembers us. So this is a call that we can and we are to remember him and continue to remember him with the years that we have left. Now, I just want to wrap up with the last thing for those who are thinking about Christianity. But as you've been coming to church, you're in Christian family, but you're thinking about Christianity. I want to say this. That our life really is vaporous. But Jesus can redeem whatever it is in your life fully. Whether it's mistakes, whether it's wasted years, God can redeem everything in Jesus. And so come to him before our dust returns to the ground. Come to him before our breath returns to the Maker. Shall we pray and thank him for this life? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Ecclesiastes as we reflect on life with the teacher who has seen everything, who has explained life under the sun and pointing us to the sun above the sun, that we will turn to Jesus and we'll begin living our life from the end in mind, that we shall see you and you have saved us. For those of us who are not saved, that we will see that we need to see you and that we need Jesus to save us. So Father, as we go forth in the week ahead, may you strengthen us and give us strength. May we live boldly. May we enjoy this life and not be too anxious and worried about what has happened and what will happen, but that we can remember you and we can give thanks for Christ for all the moments that we have. In Jesus' name, we pray till we see you. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Andrew. And Pastor has prepared two discussion questions to help us reflect on what we've just heard. And I'll read them out. They are: why is it good news that Jesus never forgot his Father, even when he went to the cross? What does remember your Creator look like in your life right now? And secondly, what areas of your life have you placed in your later basket that today's passage calls you to move into the now basket? I think we are running on in time, in terms of time, so we don't have the time to discuss these today. But please take a photo or go to the bulletin online to find them. And it would be great to discuss them after the service, perhaps over lunch.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.